of Israel, weep for joy. I brought you out of the nations.
Welcome. In Obedience to Him is a broadcast dedicated to the things of God, according to the Bible. News, church, life, with your host, Robin James.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Much of the grace, peace, and mercy of our Father Yahweh to you today, and welcome. There was an expression way back when I was coming up, a saying made popular by a line in a movie that said, "Love means never having to say you're sorry." What I find today is that so many of us who call ourselves believers of the Most High think that that is a true statement. And although I do believe that there are times with people that they do something to us that's wrong, and we can look into their eyes and read their body language, and we know that they're sorry, and we don't press it. We kind of give them a pass. However, I'm talking about those who don't apologize or repent because they don't think they've done anything wrong. And even when it's made clear to them, they rebel against the idea of having to apologize or repent because of pride. It's almost like humility is not an option for them. They get offended when you tell them what it is that has caused a knot between you. It's sad because pride to me is the root of every sin. It leaves us open for more and more lawless behavior. Repentance, on the other hand, if done right, not only gives us true salvation, but keeps us open to receive Father's instruction that keeps us on salvation's path. That's a part of working it all out. In Matthew 24, Yeshua gives his disciplined ones an answer concerning events surrounding his return and the end of the world. Verses 10, 12, and 13 read like this: "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." One of the things that I think about the many times that the expression "saved" or "shall be saved" or "endure to the end and you shall be saved" is used in this book, it makes me think that none of us are truly saved until we're saved. Get it? And that's the reason why I believe that living this life is something that is constantly moving to the next understanding, to the next depth, to the next height, to the next length and breadth. And for some reason, I guess I'm getting on the subject of offense right here, because all I can say is I'm kind of astonished at the amount of people who are supposedly of the same faith, and they get so easily offended when we don't agree on certain things. Now, that's just been my experience. And I don't always mean the famous peaceful parting of the ways, agree to disagree. I mean the outright mean folks who talk down to others by masking it as some sort of encouragement. It's pitiful. You know, someone can, quote, write scriptures and be in the wrong spirit the whole time. But that's another broadcast. I don't know. Many people may not believe or even think about the importance of repentance or practicing repentance because it's something that they don't do very often. They don't think that they've done anything wrong. Yet, if we're reading our word, it's a practice that those who say that they are believers of Hashem should be most well acquainted with, right? Back to Matthew 4:24, Yeshua faces the enemy's temptation after fasting with the word of Yah and after being ministered to by angels. Hearing of John's imprisonment, he begins to go by the way that Isaiah prophesied, verses 15 through 17, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. To them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Yeshua began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I have found myself. Now, I don't know about you, but I have found myself many times when I have heard of a person being asked, or have asked a person who says they are a believer in Hashem, what did Yeshua preach? Many times you hear he preached a message of love and forgiveness, and that's word and certainly is true. But if we had to pinpoint or laser in on Yeshua's foundational message, what would it be? Some say he came to seek and save the lost. Yes, that's word. But how? How did he come to seek and save the lost? What does he tell those who are lost? Well, we know many times just his presence caused a stir. Maybe I should ask this. How do you know you're lost? How do I know when I'm lost? How do you know when you're in the dark? Well, for me, I began to have a series of encounters. His set-apart spirit drawing me to him through these encounters. I did not realize that I was in darkness until I saw this great light, or that I was living under the shadow of a death sentence until that light sprung up in me. John 1 reads, in Yeshua was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Skip to 9. That was 4 and 5. Yeshua was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of Yah. It was to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yah. And when I look at this and I think, not of blood, the will of the flesh, the will of man, it's three different ways of saying the same thing. Not of you, not of me, but of Yah. Yeshua preached and taught repentance and the kingdom. Why? Because here's the good news. He knows one of the reasons. He knows where we come from, our true lineage, and where you and I may wind up if we don't return to the light, the life that is the light of men, the light of life that sparks my heart, your heart, to beat and shines through those beautiful eyes of yours. And then there is the living that life in accordance to his will and not our own. The Hebrew says to truly repent is to turn from evil back to Yah in repetition, to be restored, refreshed, repaired, to give back, to relinquish, to give in payment for. Many who say they are believers of Hashem do not think they are lost or living under a death sentence thanks to erroneous teachings like once saved, always saved, or it's sufficient to just say, quote, God knows my heart, unquote, and that clears all consciousness of wrong. That is what separates you from your sin, saying, God knows my heart. The word is designed to make what is dirty known. And once that happens, it's up to you and I to get rid of it with his help. You know, that may be one of the top reasons those who say they are believers don't draw close to him through reading him, his word, and somehow still believe that they're exempt from the shadow of death that's looming over everyone and anyone who makes a habit of continually practicing wrongdoing in his eyes. Usually, the reason for this is not knowing what wrongdoing is in the eyes of Yah, or what sin is. 1 John 3:4 says, whosoever commits sin transgresses also Torah, for sin is the transgression of the Torah. Where is Torah? Torah is the first five books of our Bible. But for those whose eyes glaze over, or those who say that they only carry the what is commonly known as the New Testament, I say, well, you need to go back to the beginning. They look kind of confused and sometimes agitated because they don't want to start at the beginning. It's like, I don't know, to them, it's like reading some boring novel. And I understand that. So sometimes I'll say, go to Exodus 20. And if they recognize it for being what is commonly known as the Ten Commandments, I tell them, if you stop, you know, say you stop on the first one, you shall not have any other Elohim before Yahweh. And ask him, pause, and ask him, what do you mean by this? I guarantee you it's going to take you back to the beginning. Each one will take you back to the beginning. Let's read that in the Amplified. It says, everyone who commits, practices sin, is guilty of lawlessness. For that is what sin is, lawlessness, the breaking, violating of God's law by transgression or neglect, being unrestrained and unregulated by his commands and his will. Let's read on. You know that he appeared in visible form and became man to take away and upon himself sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him, who lives and remains in communion with and in obedience to him, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually commits or practices sin. No one who habitually sins has either seen or known him, or recognized, perceived, or understood him, or has had an experiential acquaintance with him. Let no one deceive and lead you astray. He who practices righteousness, who is upright, conforming to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action, living a consistently conscientious life, is righteous, even as he is righteous. But he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil, takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned and violated divine law from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was made manifest and visible to us was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works of the devil. No one born of God deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin, for God's nature abides in him. His principal life, the divine sperm, King James says seed, remains permanently within him, and he cannot practice sinning because he is born of God. Now I can hear some people saying, well, we still sin. Well, as long as we're in this body, we're going to have temptations. But what does the Bible tell us? It tells us that when we sin, it's because we have been tempted and drawn away by our own lusts. But when the seed of Yahweh remains permanently within you, when he abides there, and we abide in him, we don't practice sinning, because now we have the Holy Spirit. We have his set apart spirit that sanctifies us by his word. We've come clean by his word. We make a practice of doing what his word says. And when we think to go against it, guess what? Holy Spirit brings that word to our remembrance, right? He really tries to keep us out of trouble. It's up to us to make that decision to do so. Being humble and yielding, relinquishing. Verse 10, by this it is made clear who take their nature from God and are his children, and who take their nature from the devil and are his children. No one who does not practice righteousness, who does not conform to God's will in purpose, thought, and action, is of God. Neither is anyone who does not love his brother. Isn't that how Yeshua summed it up when he was asked which is the great commandment in the Torah? Matthew 22. Yeshua said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, Yeshua said, hang all the Torah and the prophets. John 15 says, if we truly have the seed of Yah abiding in us, there should be the growth and the fruit of that seed. And we can look forward to purging, right? Because if we're bringing forth fruit of Him, then He purges us so that we can bring forth more fruit. And anyone who's ever pruned a tree, a rose bush, you know what I'm talking about. Those roses after pruning, when the season comes back in, they come back so full and beautiful. If we are Abraham's seed and heirs of the same promise, then we should be walking in the same command of Yah. We should be walking in the same light Abraham walked in, right? Because I hear it all the time, you know, I'm Abraham's seed. I'm not even going to go there. Let me wrap up my thoughts here by saying that there are people who say that they are believers in the Most High, yet they are easily offended. The Word tells us, and I really try to keep close to my heart. I'm going to have to tell you some stories about how I really should have done better with this. But Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love Yahweh's Torah, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall cause them to stumble. All we really have to do is look around, and we can see how easily people get offended and how people are betraying and hating one another, because instead of keeping the great command, they're in love with the world and with the things of this world. And like Jude says, they just simply overtly sneer at anything they can't understand. There's no reason why a believer should not understand their Father. Now, of course, we don't understand every single aspect of Him, but He is a Father. And if He sent His only begotten to be the first of many, such a brutal sacrifice, not just to separate us, the whole world, from our sin, but to get us back to that relationship that He first desired in the beginning. One God, one people. You know, I hear this scripture partially quoted all the time, that Father's people perish because of a lack of knowledge. But if you continue to read the scripture, that is not the end of the scripture. It says, because you have rejected knowledge, that He is going to reject you. That those who reject His knowledge cannot be priests of His. No priest, no king of His. And the children, your children, will be rejected also. But they can't understand, and they can't understand because they're doing whatever they feel like doing, living by animal instinct. The Bible says these people participate in their own destruction. Why? They've gone down the same murderous road that Cain did. They've been sucked into Balaam's error by greed, and they're being canceled out by the same rebellion that canceled out Korah. When the Word tells us only people who are in darkness behave this way, lawlessness is abounding, and for many, love is growing cold. But the fruit of the Spirit for those in Yah is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, trustworthiness, gentleness, and self-control. There is nothing in Torah that goes against that fruit. How can we live in the Spirit? If we are in the Spirit, how can we walk in the Spirit? How can we walk in Him? Yeshua said to His disciples that if any man comes after Him, that he is to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Him. We must deny what it is that we desire. Put it down, walk away, separate. So many people are either in denial or simply afraid to read what the word says, because it's like a mirror. It shows you where your hair is out of place, where your shirt is not tucked in right. And to know this, to see this truth about ourselves, it's painful. But you know what? That sting doesn't last very long when you make up your mind that I know I've got to change this. I recognize that it is wrong. Father, help me. I am so sorry. I recognize that this behavior is evil. It is not of your nature. Deny yourself the pleasure of being ignorant, because it's going to be much more painful later on to have to answer for it. You and I know it's the truth. Sometimes Holy Spirit will bring an answer to me from the book, and I'll hesitate because I want to work it out my own way. And Father understands that, but you know what? He expects us to mature past that. The closer you and I draw to Him, He will draw to us, and it should help us draw nearer to one another. Don't let pride cause you to think you don't need true repentance. That's the only way you can truly be saved. Walking in the light of His word, being consistently washed and cleansed by it, and repenting along the way for the things that we do wrong, knowingly, and sometimes we don't know, but when we find out, you know the rest. Because I think this is so important to say, because, you know, people are walking around thinking that they are not in sin. And I'm talking about people who say they are believers of the Most High. Those are the people that I'm talking to. They don't think that they are in sin, or that there is no sin because Yeshua nailed it to the cross. That you're not so bad after all. Everyone tells you how spiritual you are, how great you are, what a great job you do at work, and how beautiful you look, and how wonderful you dress, and how great taste you have. And, you know, you think to yourself, well, even if I do occasionally fornicate or cheat, steal, lie, commit adultery, I have plenty of time to get it right, because God knows my heart. Or you're led astray by somebody who is just as blind as you. And that's usually the type of people that you hang out with when you don't want to know the truth. You want the ones that are going to stroke you and make you feel better about your dirt. The sad part is, if you continue in lawlessness, you may not find that out, that you are in lawlessness, until you find yourself in a ditch with those same people. Now, you and I have to put away sin from our lives, from our minds, from our thought patterns, from our way of life, and take up our own cross and follow Him by taking His yoke upon us, learning of Him, how to live life, learning how to live life from Him. Yeshua said, once you get in covenant with Him, our lives are no longer our own. He paid for you and me the purchase price, and we accepted that. And He said that the doctrine that He gives us, that He lives before us, is not His own, but His Father who sent Him. Let me just leave you with this. I know I was supposed to sum it up how many minutes ago? 1 John 1. This is the message that we've heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Yeshua, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us.
To take the law into your own hands and read it into the night. Take the law into your own that have been written.
precious words into your mind and in your heart.
Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you. And until next time, remain in obedience to Him.